and signs that adorn many of the buildings. Party, party, party! Companions are us! Brew for you! Men and women congregate on balconies, catcalling everyone who walks by or flies by. A few spirits have metal wings strapped to their backs. Shirts and skirts are raised, body parts flashed. Laughter is plentiful. Everyone is smiling, not a frown in sight. Drinks are passed around. In dark, darker corners, men and women kiss and touch, and more. There's a little something-something for everyone. No vice left untapped. The sheer number of people overwhelms me. There are too many to count.
What do you think? Killian asks.
Ever seen anything like this?
Reminds me of the red light district in Amsterdam, only on a much, much, much grander scale.
You've been to Amsterdam?
I have. I used to travel with my dad. He was a senator for the House of Myriad, tasked with ensuring Myriad's rights are never violated by Troikens or humans. Once upon a time he loved me, and took me with him. Now he hates my guts. Will I see him? Do I want to see him?
Let me show you more of my world, Killian says. Tell me your wildest fantasy and greatest wish. I can make it happen.
Play now, work later?
I'm not here for pleasure.
Frustration floods the grid.
We have time for business and pleasure.
Every minute counts, I say. I promised Archer I'd check on Dior. In the process, I'd like to avoid Javier. He's an abrogate, and he has a home court advantage.
Then we need to head to the kennels, free Erica, and proceed to many ends. That's why we're here after all. Get in, get out.
He scrubs a hand over his face.
You hate the realm, and I don't hate it.
Not at all.
I hate what the darkness does. It's evil. Once it's gone, this realm...
And, he continues as if I'm not speaking,
I want you to see a side Troika doesn't talk about. I want you to know what you're fighting for, when you're fighting for peace.
No, he wants me to fall in love with his home. The realization shimmers inside me, and I gulp.
You're giving me the hard sell, but it's not going to work. I will never embrace darkness.
I lift my chin.
If you can't leave it...
Eyes narrowed, he angles his body toward me.
What did you think would happen when the war ended? I would defect?
Yes. Before our bond, you already planned to defect.
We are going to help both realms.
Deciding to take a calculated risk, I add.
But if you'd rather sever our bond, as the general said, go ahead. It will break my heart, but broken hearts mend.
I'm not going to let him hold our bond and our plans over my head, as if they need to be ransomed.
He needs to understand, and fast, that he is as much at stake as I do.
Sever our bond, he scowls as I'd hoped. You'll let me go just like that? He snaps his fingers.
Don't you see?
I grab and shake him.
I'm fighting to stay with you. Why don't you help me?
A roar cuts through the night, and my gaze zooms skyward, just in time to watch a dragon the size of a Mack truck fly overhead. His black and green scales are resplendent, his wings magnificent. A spiked tail wags behind him.
Only guards and prisoners are allowed in the kennels, Killian says, picking up our conversation as if the argument never began. His grumbling tone tells a different story, however.
We'll be noticed the second we enter, but I have a plan.
If you tell me we need to get ourselves arrested, I'll punch you again.
He rolls his eyes.
As you can see, no one can resist a good party. We'll spend the day spreading the word about the one we're going to throw. Once that party kicks off, we'll convince everyone to walk through the gate with us. As they're kicked out, we'll sneak past the guards.
It's not a bad plan.
Will your friends help us? The more people we have on our side, the better our chance for success.
I have no friends, he admits. None outside the kennels, anyway.
How sad. A good support system matters. Everyone needs someone who will pick him up when he's down. Someone to laugh and cry with. Someone willing to tell the truth when lies abound.
I squeeze his hand, offering comfort, but he quickly pulls from my grip. Hope fizzles. If he remembered me, I could ask what's wrong and how I can help. This stranger isn't interested in revealing his vulnerabilities to me. Deep breath in, out. Tell me what you want me to do. We'll walk around, telling everyone we meet about the party. Since this is our honeymoon, he adds, I won't even charge you for my escort duties or party planning. Eyes glittering with amusement, he nudges my shoulder with his own. What's your normal fee? I ask. You misunderstand. I've never given a tour to anyone else. But here, nothing is free. Everything costs. He leads me forward and I gasp. Every time we take a step, a stone lifts from the ground to meet us, allowing a smooth descent to the land below. We work hard for our money, and our time is valuable. We don't part with a coin or a single second lightly. The people of Troika work hard too, but gifting is a way of life. In fact, the giver often looks more joyous than the receiver. Ridiculous. The more you give away, the less you have. We pass a group of teenage boys and Killian nods in greeting. Dudes, party at the beach tonight. Clothing optional. Trust me, you don't want to miss this. Tell your friends. The boys whoop, holler, and high-five each other. The next group we pass is made up of older women dressed in elaborate Victorian gowns. Killian bows and says, I bid you good morrow, ladies. There's a gathering at the beach tonight. I hear Victor Prince is hoping to meet a bride. Feminine twitters erupt as the ladies hurry on. Unease pokes at me. He's telling everyone what he thinks they want to hear. How many times has he done the same to me? Give me the lowdown on Myriad. Facts are facts, and there's no reason to lie. The more I know about enemy territory, the better chance I'll have of escaping when the time comes. Or hiding, if it proves necessary. He nods, saying, The realm is divided into 10 territories. The City of Carnal Delights, or CCD, where we are now. This is also where most businesses are located. They're open 24/7. Then there's the Museum of True Wisdom, where dossiers are kept on every citizen, human, and even Troikans. There's the Temple of Unholies, where the Prince of Ravens lives, although he has a home in every territory. The fortress I saw when we entered, yes, he says. Then there's the Tower of Absolution, where we train. The Garden of Zen, where speaking is forbidden. The Capital of Bliss, where I live. The Mountain of Vengeance, where the dragons reside, and also where the kennels are located. The House of Indulgence, where official ceremonies are held. The Center of Learning, where orphans are raised. And finally, the Fountain of Tears, where people go to indulge every emotion to the fullest. The differences between Myriad and Troika shouldn't surprise me, not even a little. They are night versus day, logic versus emotion, Ten versus Killian. But I'm surprised. I admit it. The self-indulgence, the carnality. How does anyone get anything done? We reach a small beach with onyx sand and water the color of a sky at sunset. The scents of salt and coconut, so familiar to me, fill my nose. Killian calls out another party invitation to the people in the water. They're the ones with the metal wings. They fly in and out of the surf. Compared to Troika, you must have triple the population, I say. More than triple, he replies. With every new arrival, the realm expands. The name Myriad makes sense. Myriad equals countless multitudes. Having more soldiers doesn't necessarily equate to having a stronger army, clearly. Or Troika would have been conquered long ago. We walk along the cobbled path for over an hour. Killian continues to tell everyone he sees about the party, or gala, or cheese tasting, whatever seems the most desirable to the people involved, and no one says no. In Troika, citizens wear either cat suits, armor, or robes, nothing in between. Here, citizens wear whatever they want, or so I'm guessing. Besides the Victorian ball gowns, I spot scanty togas and punk rock leather. Some men wear kilts, some wear loincloths, others wear slacks or jeans. A mix of cultures, traditions, and fashions. The party vibe never fades, however. The throng that meanders along the streets or in the buildings never thins. Voices rise and blend together, though the volume of all those conversations ebbs and flows. It's never less than a dull roar. The skin on the back of my neck prickles. A warning. Something is wrong. Stiff as a board, I search the faces around me. No one seems overly fixated on me, but my suspicions aren't laid to rest.
Still nervous?
Killian asks. Something about his tone, and the flush is back on his cheeks.
Yes and no.
I check our bond and find a mixture of guilt, shame, remorse, and determination. Zero. What did he do? Anger sparks to vibrant life, burning my chest.
Betrayed.
The shadows whisper, throwing fuel on the fire.
Stop. Just stop. I don't know what he's done. Whatever it is, however big or small, there's still time to reverse it.
I must continue my course. Seduction. Maybe if I make my husband want me, desire will prompt trust, and trust will prompt his memory. I need him to remember me. Need him on my side. Before it's too late.
Another dragon flies past us, casting a massive shadow.
The shadows inside me moan with delight, loving it.
Ignore. Stay focused. You're a wonderful escort. Totally worth the cost.
I lean my head on Killian's shoulder and say,
speaking of cost, how do you guys pay for things?
He jolts, as if surprised, but he doesn't dart away.
One step at a time. I must take joy in small victories. Credits.
He holds out his arm and points to his wrist.
We have a chip implanted. Every time I convince a human to sign with Myriad, a certain number of credits are added to my account.
His tone hardens. When I fail to convince a human to sign with Myriad, I lose a certain number of credits.
A barbed lump grows in my throat. How many credits did you lose when I made covenant with Troika?
Doesn't matter. Come on. He leads me to a small chrome and glass building. Near the closed and locked door, he holds his wrist under what I assume is a scanner.
Bingo.
The scanner thanks him for paying a credit, and the door unlocks.
Don't worry, he says. We can't be traced.
Now he leads me inside the building. Well, he wasn't kidding when he said everything costs something.
I find myself in... A white-hot blush heats my cheeks.
A small bedroom. There are mirrors on the walls and the floor.
There's a vanity-slash-wet bar, complete with mirror and stool. A bed without sheets. And a cabinet filled with individual packets of sheets that are for sale.
A desk occupies the far corner. A screen hanging on the wall in front of it. Beyond another door is a bathroom with a shower. And a scanner in order to turn on the water. Plus a bin with a sign overhead that reads, "Dirty sheets go here."
The door locks behind us.
This is a love shack, I blurt out. A place for a quickie on the go.
Also, a place to make inquiries. You want to see Dior, don't you?
He scans his wrist at the wet bar, and a shot glass slides from a cubby in the wall. A spout extends from a different cubby to fill the glass. He downs the shot before sitting at the desk, scans his wrist on a different scanner, and begins to type on the desktop, despite not having any kind of keyboard.
Images appear on the screen. I need to log on to the data system under an alias.
Interested in the exchange of money, I hold my wrist under the sink scanner, but nothing happens.
Chips are placed inside Myriadian comms, he says. Scanners scan a spirit, even when a shell is involved. But there are ways around it. There's a chip in my shell that overrides the one in my comm.
Are you using stolen credits, then? I ask, realizing he can't use the ones he earned while using a shell that isn't linked to him.
Only from the dead.
Noticing my confusion, he adds, when a spirit experiences second death, their remaining credits are wiped from the system. But not right away. Not until the bodies are collected and identified. See, when we go to battle, we lose soldiers. It's inevitable. I take note of who bites the dust. As soon as I return to Myriad, I break into the accounts of the fallen soldiers, take a small amount of credits, and assign them to a new owner.
So credits aren't passed to family members?
Nothing is passed on to family members or loved ones. If you don't do something to help the realm...
You don't get... I finish,
He nods. What will happen if you're caught?
Depends. The number of credits you steal is the number of days you spend in the kennels. But how will I get caught? The dead won't come back to tattle.
I detect a note of bitterness in his tone, that the system is so broken, and part of me wants to exploit it. Think of all the times Myriad has punished you, let you down or hurt you. You don't want to help the realm, do you?
Instead, I move to the doorway that separates bathroom from bedroom and lean against the frame, watching as he works. He curses. Dior's location has been blocked. I can't track her.
Disappointment flares and I quickly tamp it down.
We'll find another way.
We always do.
My thoughts travel another road, returning to the problem with his memory. Maybe seduction isn't the answer. Not on its own, anyway. People only ever take from Killian. By his own admission, everything he's gotten, he's had to pay for. I can give him access to my mind, my heart, free of charge.
How long are we allowed to stay in here? I ask.
The longer we're here, the less time I can be watched by whoever is following us.
And someone is following us. Guaranteed.
He pauses, meets my gaze. Curiosity and interest glitter in his eyes.
1 hour?
Well, 56 minutes now.
Why?
A slow smile blooms. I walk toward him, stepping out of my shell and saying,
Because I have plans for you.
Troika. From A_P_5/23.43.2 to T_L_2/23.43.2. Subject. Something strange is happening. You know how you're an architect now? Well, so is Ronan. He's making other conduits, then. Like, a lot. Deacon, Clementine, Clay, and Reed, and... drumroll, please. Me. Yes, you read that correctly. Me, Archer Prince. He touched me, that's all, and a bolt of lightning shot through me. Suddenly I could see and absorb light, like never before. So yeah, I rock, hardcore. The entire realm is going bat-crap crazy over this. Be honest, are sophisticated conduits like us allowed to use the word bat-crap? I'm sure you want other updates, though I'm sure we can both admit I just gave you the most important one. The princess, she's come out of hiding, not just to help Ronan, but to train us. In fact, with so many conduits, she has no reason to hide anymore. Warehouse, we haven't engaged yet. Deacon figured out Sloane's code, you know, the flash of 3 fingers 3 times. She was warning us. There are 18 warehouses just like the one we found. The moment we trip one of many silent alarms, the machines shut down and the potential abrogates wake up. A new battle begins. Kayla, she's doing well, she's on her feet, and standing with us. Have you found Dior? Wish you were here. Light brings sight, especially to me, because I'm a conduit. TL, never mind, conduit, Archer Prince.
Troika. From Mailer Erratum. Subject. This message has been deemed undeliverable.
Chapter 14. There are no moral absolutes. What is wrong for one might be right for another. Myriad. Killian. I have plans for you. As Tan saunters toward me, full of confidence and the embodiment of feminine wiles, her final words echo in my mind. I'm undone. I look at this girl and I want her. I scent her sweetness, and I want her. She has become the sun to my world, and I cannot help but gravitate to her. The loss of control enrages me even as it thrills me. The earth cannot touch the sun without being engulfed by flames. Problem is, I long to be engulfed. I'm as desperate as a man dying of thirst. I should walk, no, run from this room. I'm trembling as I stand, my body thrumming with aggression, my blood hot. I step from my shell, becoming myself again, and sit at the edge of the bed. I'm not leaving. The bond, it can't be blamed. Not fully. Not this time. The bond isn't responsible for Ten's breathtaking smile, or the way her mismatched eyes light up every time she looks at me. The bond also can't take credit for her stunning wit and staunch determination, or the trust she continues to have in me. Trust I do not deserve. She has no idea I've already sold her out. After our shower, I was reeling more forcefully than ever before, or harder than ever before. Yeah, that too, in more ways than one. Touching her had been a revelation. The softness of her skin nearly unmanned me. The little mules in the back of her throat delighted me. Everywhere they traveled, my fingers left a trail of goosebumps, and it thrilled me. When she touched me, my world upended. I craved more then and now. The craving consumed me, and I freaked out. I shouldn't want her this much. Shouldn't want anyone this much. At some point I'm going to lose her, either because of the war or because of my own foolishness. I thought, why prolong the inevitable? Making things worse for myself. Rip the bandage. Move on. Quickly. Next I thought, if I have to sacrifice myself and my desires to get this done, so be it. For my realm and my king, I will do anything. I believe in both. Yes? As soon as I entered the closet to dress, I sent a message to my leader, Sir Ji Chen. Because of me, an ML was waiting for us just beyond the Veil of Midnight. Took me a while to pinpoint who, exactly, but only one shell followed us to every location. The second I lost him, I darted in here. We're at a serious disadvantage. Except for my cuffs, our weapons are bogus. They don't work. What have I done? My dark side provides an answer. The right thing. If I hadn't bargained for Ten's life, death would have been a real possibility, if not an outright inevitability. Now Ten will stay safe, and so will I. The true shocker. When I made the bargain, I wasn't concerned about my future. Only hers. Right now, she's looking at me with the same intense longing and desire that is smoldering inside of me. When she finds out what I've done, she'll look at me with hatred. Mr. Flynn, where are you? I demand a report. Xi's voice fills my head, unbeknownst to Ten, interrupting the moment, and I grind my teeth. I programmed my shell to relay every incoming message via audio rather than text. Text can be sent along the grid, which is a danger while I'm connected to Ten. Once again, Xi speaks. We have intercepted a message from Archer Prince to Miss Lockwood. There's been a startling development. Either that, or the Troikans have realized we've hacked into Miss Lockwood's feed and hope to trick us. But either way, something must be done ASAP. I palm a dagger and stab my calm, ending any further communications. I'm out of my shell, I say, my voice roughened as I head off any questions she might have. Do you not want to take any chances? My time with Ten isn't up, and I won't relinquish another second. She reaches me and climbs onto my lap, bracing her knees at my sides. Automatically, my hands settle on her hips to hold her in place. She smells incredible, like a field of wildflowers on a warm summer's day. I breathe her in as if she's a lifeline. Maybe she is. Or maybe she's more than a lifeline. Maybe she's everything.
You make my toes curl.
She rubs her nose against mine and the soft contact is electric.
Tell me what you want, Killian.
I open my mouth to say ye, only ye. But an accusation escapes instead. You make poems for Archer. As the words echo in my ears, I curse. I want a poem more than I want sex. Who have I become?
Are you jealous?
A tinkling laugh leaves her, her warm, sweet breath fanning over my chin.
Even though I made one for you, too. Tisk tisk.
I have no forgotten the one you made me, lass. It's getting more and more difficult to control my accent around her. And why bother anyway? She knows I'm an orphan, and she doesn't care. You do not love me. I kinda trust you. Blah, blah, blah.
Except now you know I do love you, and you can trust me.
She studies my face, grinning a toothy grin, and spinning my heart into a dangerous spiral.
But you still want a new one.
I hike one of my shoulders in a shrug, or whatever. Meanwhile, my mind is shouting, "Give me!" She plays with the ends of my hair, tickling my scalp, and recites,
"There's a boy named Killian Flynn, the most handsome of all the men. Each and every night, girls melt at first sight, but he only has eyes for 10.
One corner of my mouth lifts. A limerick.
Archer would flip his lid over a limerick, yet I've never created one for him. But if you don't like it, we can pretend I didn't create one for you either, and...
It's mine, I rush to say. You cannot take it back. Her grin returns full force.
Possessive of a poem, could you be any more adorable?
I shouldn't preen, but that's exactly what I do. Like a once-dying rose suddenly opening to face the ever-brightening sun. This girl likes me, just as I am. She likes me enough to tease me, and she enjoys the time we spend together. To her, I'm worth something. I'm... family.
Since you can't remember our past,
she says, then pauses to chew her bottom lip.
What if I can let you inside my mind, so that you can see our history through my eyes?
Shadows take me by the throat, squeeze. You know how to let me in your mind?
No, I mean, yes.
Frowning, she tilts her head to the side.
My grid is on the fritz, and yet I know exactly what to do.
I'm shaking my head before she finishes. You shouldn't have made such a tempting offer. Not to me. You shouldn't have let anyone inside your mind, ever. Especially me. I'm not a bad guy. I'm worse. People will always take advantage, learning your weaknesses to use against you. She's got to do a better job of protecting herself from predators like me. Again, she rubs her nose against mine.
How cute. You assume I have weaknesses.
I want to smile and shake her at the same time, and I want to resist her. I do. Should. But I can't. My curiosity is too great. Can I be blamed? With 10 perched on my lap, my brain isn't functioning at optimum levels. All of my blood has rushed elsewhere. Whatever memories you share, I'll see through your eyes. Learn your every thought in secret. I say, my final warning. I might acquire information you wish to keep private.
You are priority one. Whatever you need, I'll give.
My mouth dries. I nod. Nibbling on her lower lip, an action that only makes my blood descend faster, she frames the sides of my face with her beautiful hands. Skin to skin, female to male. Warmth to warmth, wife to husband. My fingers twitch involuntarily, my grip tightening on her hips. Determined to maintain control of my memories, the shadows sharpen their claws, sinking their razor tips deeper into my mind. I flinch.
Close your eyes.
10 kisses one of my temples, then the other. Perhaps this is a trick meant to disarm me. When I close my eyes, she'll attack. For once, I don't care. I'm willing to take a chance. No risk, no reward, right?
Inhale, exhale. That's good,
she says, her voice as soft as a caress. Every time I inhale, she exhales. When I exhale, she inhales, until we're breathing each other's air. I still taste the shot of whiskey I downed, but now the sweetness of her teases my senses. As I wait for something, anything to happen, I'm tense, on edge. Then, oh, then, I feel her. She's there in my mind, standing in the middle of the bridge that connects us, smiling at me. Everything right in a world gone wrong. Light glows from her pores. Light she saved and desperately needs, yet still she gives it to me. Stop. I croak. She brightens, grows brighter still, making my shadow shudder with fear, run, and hide. Between one second and the next, a nearly blinding flash of light explodes between us. Agony sears me, and I grunt. Sweat pours from my temples. Suddenly I'm trapped inside a small room. My 10's arms are lifted overhead, wrists bound by chains that are anchored to the ceiling. She's human, a prisoner at the Prin Asylum. A 30-something human stands in front of her, rolling up his shirt sleeves. Dr. Vance, evil in the flesh.
You know, I've always admired your spirit, Miss Lockwood. It's a shame I have to damage it.
She's sick to her stomach, but determined to withstand whatever the male dishes.
Go ahead. Do your worst. Your best has only ever tickled.
Sickness churns in my stomach. How could anyone hurt her like this? A big-boned nurse with frizzy red hair wheels a large tray inside the room. The door closes behind her. Two wolves, one sheep. No way out. Ten does her best to remain calm.
You don't have to do this. You said there are no other options, but that's not true. You can give me the time I asked for.
Time? She hasn't yet decided where she'll live after she dies. Myriad or Troika. Stand with her parents or against them. All she wants is the right to freely choose. What we all want.
Time is running out.
The doctor smiles at her, and it's clear he enjoys her pain. No, we're going to do this. Money buys happiness. And anyone who says otherwise is lying. I want my money.
Aren't you afraid of what awaits you in the Everlife?
She asks. I've never cared about tomorrow. Only today. I bite the inside of my cheek. I've always been like Dr. Vance, taking care of now with no concern for tomorrow, or the feelings of others. I despise the fact that we have something in common. The two argue for a bit, and I'm amazed at Ten's strength, at her unwillingness to bend. She's willing to die simply to use a basic human right too many take for granted. When have I ever felt so strongly about anything? Then she says, "Living shouldn't be synonymous with surviving."
The doctor pops on a pair of latex gloves.
"You have my permission to scream as loudly as you'd like. These walls are soundproofed." What he does next fills me with such righteous rage I'm nearly rent in two. Yes, he makes this brave, precious girl scream over and over again. Despite the horrors he inflicts upon her, she never gives him what he wants, a pledge to Myriad. A realization I reached earlier solidifies. Ten Lockwood will never betray Troika. Not now, not ever. And I...
The shadows do everything in their power to shut down the memory, but they are no match for Ten. Her light forces those shadows to run and hide, and
I begin to remember bits and pieces of my life. How I read Ten's file before I met her. How my leader called her hard-headed and foolish. Before me, Myriad sent a sleazy ML named James to win her over. While everyone else around her attacked her, he pretended to show her kindness. Of course she fell for him. Only she still didn't make covenant with Myriad for him, even under the guise of saving his life. So I was sent in, because my specialty is romance, like James, only on the opposite end of the spectrum. He is, supposedly, the good boy a good girl can build a life with, and I am the bad boy those good girls hope to tame, supposedly. Exciting. I can show them the time of their lives. At first, Ten wanted nothing to do with me, not exactly a new experience. Many others have rejected me, too. Then she softened toward me. How? I must know. But the specifics remain a blank. Why does it matter? In the end, she rejected me, choosing Troika. As she softened toward me, I softened toward her. I must have despaired knowing I'd lost her. Wrong, knowing I'd never truly won her. I can't have Ten in my position in Myriad. One will always endanger the other. She made her choice, leaving me in the dust. After our bonding, I had to do the same. Ten moans as if she's in pain and my attention zooms to her. She's surrounded by darkness. My shadows didn't run away to hide. No, they zoomed along the bridge, entering her mind, strengthening the darkness already writhing inside her. She's fighting, but she's losing, growing weaker. Protective instincts surge and I curse. This girl and her memories have me twisted up. I make a decision, or think I do. An emotion rises up to change my mind. Emotion or trust? I don't know, I can't tell. Up is down and down is up. If the shadows overtake her, I will win. Her myriad side will take over. Maybe. Probably. She'll do what I considered impossible and betray Troika. Hopefully. No, no, not hopefully. I like her just as she is. I don't want to change her. She's... Boom. My eyelids spring open as the door to the rented room bursts at the hinges. Ji Chen looms in the entryway, a dazer in hand. Dark hair, pale skin with a slight golden tint. Behind him are three men that I can see. Knowing my leader, I'm sure many others surround the building. I stagger to my feet while shoving Ten onto the bed behind me, using my body as a shield. A sense of urgency bombards me. Get rid of them, now. I need more time. I'm not ready to part with Ten. She splays across the mattress, her eyes closed, her hands pressed over her ears. Little whimpers escape her. Go! I shout. But of course, Ji remains in place. He's a leader, my superior. We're here for the girl. His smile reminds me of Dr. Van's. Cold, cruel. But don't worry, Mr. Flynn, you'll be coming with us. We'd like to chat with you, too. My hands fist, the bones so taut I fear my knuckles will cut through my skin. The Troikans call me the Butcher, Mr. Chen. Do not make me show you why. He pales but remains in place. You are outnumbered and outgunned. I could beg for mercy, but I won't. She knows nothing about my past. Few do. Before Archer's defection, he erased details about the abuse I endured from my files. As a beloved son of the Second King, he had access to every building in every city, and no one dared question his actions. At the time, I thought he had my back. He was the only friend I trusted. When he left, I figured the action was a parting gift, and I hated him all the more. He'd known he was leaving, but hadn't talked to me or warned me. For years, I wondered how Archer could give up glorious freedom in exchange for the stifling rules found in Troika. I even asked him once, when he attempted to recruit me. I desire the trust of my brethren more than the adoration of my father's people. At the time, I considered him a fool. Now, take us to Ambergene, then, I demand. I'll speak with the king directly. After everything I've done for Myriad, he'll agree to place Ten in my care. He must. Ji's smile only widens. Who do you think ordered us to take her in early? My heart drops into my stomach. No, absolutely not. But I know as well as anyone that the Second King will do anything, betray anyone, to defeat Troika. As Ten says, we reap what we sow. I sowed betrayal, so I'm reaping betrayal. This is my fault in more ways than one. If she's hurt... I stealthily reach for the dagger hidden in the waist of my jeans. Oh, she'll be hurt, and so will you. Ji squeezes the trigger on the dazer. That is the only guarantee I can give you.
Chapter 15. If you do not work, you do not eat. Troika. 10. Voices. Strange noises. Huffs and puffs. Grunts. One thud after another. Fighting? I pry open heavy eyelids. My vision is hazy. I think I see Killian dodge a stream of dazer fire as he lunges at a group of soldiers. Intruders. He uses his wrist cuffs to disarm two men. Not just to disarm, but to arm himself. The hooks at the ends of the wires latch on to the weapons and fling them in Killian's direction. He catches both and fires. Pop, 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 pop. Men bellow with agony. Why would Killian need the soldiers' weapons when he has ours? Unless ours do not work. Darkness envelops me. Pain sears me and I lose track of my surroundings. My fault. I gave my light, my strength to Killian, and took some of his shadows, only wanted to set him free. His life has been a series of tragedies, and I hope to give him peace. I want better for him, and I'll be better for him. Even if it destroys me, he comes first.
Love comes first. Darkness will not win. Except, the shadows in my mind are thicker than before, and only growing. Old resentments flare, no longer content to remain hidden, blending with a fresh surge of rage. Killian betrayed me. With his shadows come more and more of his secrets. After our shower, he messaged his leader thinking he would win me over, convince me that there's no better place to live than Myriad. Zhi Chen promised to send someone to follow and protect us. What a joke. As if the powers that be would ever accept me. All along, they planned to hurt and use me. Still, a part of me refuses to fault him for doing what he thinks is right, what is best for his people, and the realization makes me flinch. I'm Kayla, I realize. I thought myself different, thought my love stronger and my man nobler. Wrong. Killian taught me better. Luciana said Myriadians go crazy after a bond, and Troikens suffer later. Now I get it. Because of Killian's actions, I'm going to suffer. I am suffering. If there's a reason for his memory loss, there's a reason for this. What am I supposed to learn? How to forgive? I can do that? To trust him anyway? I can't. No, you won't. Trust is a choice, like love. Fool. Look where love takes you. Stop. What's done is done. Anger will lead me down the wrong path. I'll rant and rave and do nothing but convince Killian that he made the right decision, choosing his realm over me. Punish them all. Make them beg for mercy. A command from my deepest, darkest instincts. A desire to get even with the people who betrayed me. Tit for tat. I did nothing wrong, and yet I suffer. A tormentor deserves to suffer 1,000 times worse than his victims. Yes? Problem is, these instincts aren't always right. Fruit that grows on a poisoned tree is poison. If I give tit for tat, I'm no better than the one who hurt me. Actually, I'm worse. I'm a hypocrite. And really, blame can be laid at my door too. So, reap. Once, I put Troika first, Killian second. Today, Killian put Myriad first, me second. The best response? Resist rage. Look beyond the moment to the eternal. What future do I desire? One with Killian or without? 1 + 0 = 1. 1 + 1 = 2. There are two sides to every story, the positive and the negative. Some people say there's a third side, neutral. But neutral isn't a side, it's an excuse. Pain explodes through my head, disrupting my musings, drawing me back into the present. Killian hisses, experiencing the same explosion of pain. Perhaps he is the cause? Then I'm floating, the softness of the mattress no longer supporting me. No, not floating. I'm being carried? A heart beats against my temple, and an unfamiliar scent envelops me. Grapes not yet completely fermented into wine. Not unpleasant, but not welcome either. My darker side loves it, has never smelled anything sweeter. To Killian? A male voice says, catching my attention. He took out 16 of my men before we were able to subdue him. He should be headed for the kennels, and soon he will be, after our interrogation of the girl. There are 16 ounces in a pound. Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States, and he led during the Civil War. 16 is the atomic number of sulfur. Why did Killian fight his own countrymen? To safeguard me? A trick. Only a trick. Or my seduction worked, and Killian is beginning to trust me. Too late. She's to be interrogated? Nothing more? The male asks. Of course there's something more. We've never had a Troikan inside Myriad. We'll be running tests on both of the Flynns. Ah, but I love the sounds of screaming. Music to my ears. A chuckle of genuine amusement. She's only half Troikan, and we have run tests on others like her. Wrong. Well, we've run tests on amalgams. We've never before had a conduit in our midst, which is why our new abrogate is going to try to push our darkness through Miss Lockwood's grid. If the darkness is able to invade Troika, the citizens will be weakened. If the darkness spreads and surrounds the realm, even better. We'll be able to enter just as Killian did. Information hits me one bomb at a time. Amalgams. Is that what inter-realm bonded couples are called? New abrogate. Definitely Javier Diaz. I can't let him do what is planned. Interrogation, torture, sure, I can endure. I have before, but not the destruction of my home. The two sides of me war, just like the realms. The people of Troika do not love you. The generals blackmailed you. Face it, you are hated. And now that your light is partially extinguished, you are no longer needed or wanted. Why defend them? You don't need to be loved by others to do what's right for them. Resist, and the darkness will flee. It must. Then Killian's voice joins the deluge. I'm sorry. Sorry doesn't change our current circumstances. You aren't the man I thought you were. The words slip from me, unbidden. My dark side striking out. He flinches. I'm better. Hardly. You lied to me. He cuts me off. I know I'm nothing like your precious archer. Jealousy? Now of all times? Doesn't matter. Through sheer grit and determination, I listen to my Troikan side and resist the darkness. Anger, hurt, and worry will only strengthen the shadows. Deep breath in, out. Happy thoughts. The end of the war. A peaceful future for Jeremy. No more friends dying too soon. Good. That's good. I begin to calm, and the darkness begins to fade. I suspect I haven't seen the last of anger, hurt, and worry. But for now, they're hiding again, and I'm centered. Learn from misfortune and move on. I focus on Killian. I've never desired Archer. He's my brother, and you're my... What? Doesn't matter. Logic over emotion. Escape with Killian. Enter many ends. Save everyone. I'm tossed onto a cold, hard floor. Impact knocks my brain against my skull. Next, a storm of ice water splashes over me and I gasp, sputter. My eyelids break apart and I meet the gaze of the man I know is Zhi Chen. He is dark from head to toe, with a lean body barely strong enough to carry me however far we traveled. Beside him stands a shell, masculine, rugged, blonde with the same nearly translucent skin of the second king and glittering green eyes. A face so beautiful that both females and males, young and old, have fallen for him and killed for him. I know those eyes. Here is Victor Prince, Archer's younger brother. He likes to pretend he's some kind of angel. I know he's fallen. Though he's not pretending today, is he? He's too busy glaring daggers at me. I don't have to wonder why he's in a shell. During our last encounter, he tried to force me to bond with him the way I willingly bonded with Killian, and when I refused, he then attempted to kill me. I cut off his hands, and they have not yet grown back. In the shell, he can at least pretend to be whole.
Oh, but the mighty have toppled, he says, his tone smug.
I'm barely able to move, my strength depleted, my light gone, but still I blow him a kiss, taunting him. Take your anger out on me, not Killian. Although, hello, we're bonded. What happens to me happens to him. Double zero. At least you... No, I'm mighty. Victor decides to humor me. With a hiss of rage, he moves toward me. The guy beside him holds out an arm, stopping him. That guy? Javier Diaz, the enemy. He is an abrogate, my total opposite. I supercharge in the light while he supercharges in the dark. I can push light into others. He can tamp it out and create shadows from nothing but air. Although with my dual citizenship, I wonder if I can transition from conduit to abrogate. Scratch that. I'm certain I can. The knowledge rises up inside me, temptation wrapped in persuasion and sprinkled with enticement. I have only to embrace the shadows hiding in my mind. Then I can use Javier's powers against him. Shadow versus shadow will be so easy. steel fuses to my spine, squaring my shoulders and lifting my head, the position of a soldier who refuses to back down. Easy doesn't mean right. How can I utilize darkness, then turn around and condemn Ambergene and his followers for doing the same? How can I create darkness, stealing light from my friends, hurting my friends? No, there's another way, a better way, the light way. What do I know about Javier? Kayla once called him the quintessential dreamboat. He's tall with a golden tan and handsome, but to me, he's the embodiment of evil. He gets off on the misery he inflicts. Death and destruction are his constant companions, and selfish is the name of his game. So, dreamboat or not, I'm not a fan. Before Javier's first death, I received a small taste of his powers. He might as well have been a needle, and me a balloon. One moment I was strong, the next I was weak. Now that he's a spirit, we're on equal ground. He's cocky, and he'll underestimate me. I can take full advantage. Determination tramples any lingering fear, but not by word or deed do I betray my newfound fight. Let him see me as weak. Let him act accordingly. Javier extends one finger, only one, and not the middle one. Surprise, surprise. I think he's creating shadows. Yes, oh yes. Dread attempts an invasion as shadows seep from the ceiling and floor. They slither toward me and wrap around my wrists and ankles. Ice cold. I gasp. A second later, I'm yanked upright, my limbs stretched out as if I'm on a rack. My gaze is suddenly eye level with Javier's. He's smiling, a smile as frigid as his shadows.
As you might have deduced, he says, his tone even smugger than before. I'm learning to use my gifts.
He expects me to cower. Keep dreaming.
Aw, you're going to make such a good puppet for your realm.
Speaking while panting proves a challenge, but I manage it. Rage contorts his features. To prove he means nothing to me, less than nothing, I mentally dismiss him and scan the room. Between G and Victor is a large dog crate. Horror slaps me. Killian is locked inside the crate. He's on his knees, the diameters of the walls not allowing him to stand, and he's wearing an expression of pure boredom.
This is where betrayal leads you. Happy?
I'm sure you remember when you cleansed your nickels of penumbra. G is as smug and superior as a king. Now, Javier is going to cleanse you of light, and you're going to help him. Let him into your grid. Anytime you resist, Mr. Flynn will be... Well, there's no kind way to say this. He'll be deep-fried. Meaning you, too, will be deep-fried.
Deep breath in, out. I need help. Can't do this on my own. Desperate, I reach out to Archer through the grid. Considering Ronan is an architect, I reach out to him as well, and the conduits, the princess, and Biscuit, Clay, Deacon, Reed, Clementine, Kayla. Someone has to hear me, despite the distance between us. 1 second, two, three. Radio silence remains. G arches a brow.
Nothing to say, Miss Lockwood?
My panicked gaze swings back to Killian. He's gripping the bars of his cage, his knuckles white, his calm slipping away. Slap! Javier's palm makes contact with my cheek. The pain is sharp but fleeting as my head whips to the side. Lifeblood leaks from the corner of my mouth.
Do yourself a favor, Miss Lockwood.
G tugs at the cuff of his shirt.
Pay attention.
Rage detonates along my bond to Killian, and it's not mine.
Hitting girls now, Diaz, Killian tisks.
He appears even calmer than before. So calm it's almost scary.
And bound girls who can't fight back at that. Your bravery is inspiring. Keep talking, please.
Javier peers over his shoulder and smiles slowly. Then, still watching Killian, he slaps me harder.
10 is the one who will pay for your crimes.
You consider truth a crime? I laugh. I don't know why I'm shocked. The truth is, you're pathetic in every way. You're a coward with...
His arm lashes out a third time. Third time is the charm. Rather than delivering a slap, he balls up his hand and punches me. Stars explode in my vision. My teeth cut my cheeks, and agony sears my mouth. No longer can Killian maintain any type of facade. He rattles the cage and screams, "I'm going to do everything in my power to ensure you rot in many ends!" I use his outburst to my advantage, shouting again for my friends. "Archer! Ronan! Biscuit! Someone!" 10. I suck in a breath. "Archer!" I'd recognize his voice anywhere, anytime. He may be in Troika, and I may have used up all my light, but I'm still connected to him through the grid.
"What happened?"
Victor closes the distance, then reaches out to clasp my chin. Problem is, he's in the shell, and I'm in spirit form. His hand ghosts through me. Glaring at me now, he snaps, "Tell me!" "Archer, I used up my light, and now I'm a captive. I..." "No need to recap, Spermbank. I know the gist." Spermbank, the nickname he gave me the day we met. He said I had lady balls and an explosive temper. "Listen up. I'm with Clay, Ronan, Clementine, Kayla, and Reed. Earlier, I sent you a message explaining everything, but it bounced back. So here's a condensed version. Our group has changed. We're all conduits now. Well, not Kayla. Not yet. Ronan is an architect, like you." Okay, I'll tell her." Maybe Javier's punch damaged my brain, because the last part of Archer's speech fails to compute. "First, I'm so happy for you guys. There are no better people for the job. Second, I'm sorry, but I don't understand. You'll tell me what?"
"Biscuit is insisting I let you know he's with us. Anyway, we're going to send light across the grid. Maybe it will work, maybe it won't. We're new at this. Good news is, the princess thinks it will, in fact, work."
The princess has left the protection of the tunnels. Perfect. More conduits means more safety for Troika. I can use whatever light I'm given to fight Javier's shadows. But what will happen to Killian? I stiffen. He reacted to light so badly the first time. Doesn't matter. Whatever happens, we'll deal. Without light, we might not survive this encounter.
"Thank you, Archer.
All for one and one for all.
But be careful. I'm with Javier, and he wants to spread his darkness along our grid. If you begin to feel drained, stop."
"Enough!"
Javier cups the sides of my face, and the next thing I know, darkness is hurled into me. Oh, the pain. It consumes me. Gritting my teeth, I summon every bit of my remaining strength to erect a block and keep it. Him away from the grid. Sweat beads in different locations. Ice seems to spread over my spine. I can't breathe. I need to breathe. Finally, Javier pulls back, and the darkness vanishes. The pain fades, and I begin panting.
"Archer, working on it, but..."
The words are gritted.
"We're blocked!"
No. Is the block I erected against Javier also keeping out my friends?
"Well," she demands. "She's resisting." Javier snaps. Glaring at me, he adds, "Now Killian will pay the price."
"Killian will pay the price either way. This way, at least, there's a chance we survive."
"You were warned, Miss Lockwood."
G lifts a remote and presses a button. Volts of electricity flow through the metal bars of Killian's cage. My entire body shakes. My vision goes dark. And in my veins, my blood begins to boil, muscle and flesh cooking. Agony nearly rends me asunder, worse than anything I've ever before endured. 1 second, 2, I scream, or try to. Suddenly the volts die. I continue to quake, my teeth rattling against each other. My gaze meets Killian's, his beautiful eyes reminding me of open wounds. He may not remember everything about our past, but he hates what's being done to me.
"Again," G says.
Javier reaches for me only to still, as multiple voices call out greetings from the hallway.
"Majesty, your highness, my lord."
Distress tinges each and every voice. Pulse after pulse of power hits the room, hits me. My entire body shudders, my nerve endings buzzing. Ambergene has arrived. While the people of Troika adore Aeron, the people of Myriad fear Ambergene. The contrast proves everything I've begun to suspect. Ambergene must die.
Xi and Victor stiffen. Javier smiles. Interesting. He must see himself as Prince's pet.